Recently, the American Principles Project, a conservative think tank in Washington, D.C., had some of their communications suspended by Twitter. Why? Because they dared to question the full-bore transgender agenda, which they view as harmful to children suffering from gender dysphoria. Terry Schilling is the president of American Principles Project. He joins us now on Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Terry, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Jerry. You are one of my favorite hosts, and I'm excited to be here.
Oh, you're too kind. Okay, so here's the thing. There's really kind of two issues at issue that I'd like to focus on. One is just even the whole idea of the transgender agenda, and what is really the compassionate response to gender dysphoria. And then the other issue is the big tech censorship of anybody who doesn't agree with the transgender agenda. So lay the table for us. What is that agenda?
Well, the big agenda here amongst from the transgender movement is to eliminate all differences and distinctions between the two sexes. The transgender agenda, gender ideology, however you want to refer to it, believes that men and women are interchangeable, that a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man. And in fact, men and women don't have to be either or. They can choose something along the gender paradigm or spectrum. We know after millennia worth of human beings being on this earth that that's all nonsense, that men and women are created, that they're formed in the womb as men and or women, and that the proper ordering is to treat each person as such, and to not go through these hormones. What we're dealing with right here is a very real condition known as gender dysphoria. It used to be known as gender identity disorder until that term was changed. But what we have is people are suffering from a condition where they feel very uncomfortable in their own bodies. And what the left argues with this gender dysphoria is that we need to alter the body. We need to change the hormonal makeup of the child, of the adult, and we need to alter the outside of the body through permanent surgeries and hormones and all of that to make them feel more comfortable in their own body. Now, what I argue as a Christian and as an American, as someone just with common sense, is that this is a mental problem. And before I go on, I want to say something very clearly. Mental problems exist, and they have no bearing whatsoever on someone's dignity, someone's human dignity, their value, their net worth. Lots of people suffer from mental afflictions, and it doesn't matter. They still are a human being created in the image and likeness of God.
Amen.
And what my solution and what normal American solution is to this problem is to make the person feel more comfortable in their own body, to change the way they think about themselves, to accept their body as it is, and to make them feel comfortable in it. We don't hate transgender people. We don't even think lowly of them. We look at them as someone that's needing our compassion and our care and our love more than a lot of people, really. And we want to give them the proper care. And that's really what's at stake with this transgender agenda.
Now, part of the whole thing is that gender dysphoria, for most people, is a short-lived problem, because usually by the end of puberty or whatever, most of these people that are suffering from this, these issues are resolved just naturally.
That's exactly right, Jerry. Several studies have been conducted on children with gender dysphoria, and they all range from 85% to even 94% of children who suffer from gender dysphoria. If they are allowed to go through natural puberty, they all desist and end up feeling comfortable in their own body. Look, children have problems. And if we're being honest, puberty and going through those changes as a child is a very uncomfortable process. And we need sober parents. We need sober medical advisors and doctors to give us actual care that's required of the children. Everyone knows, everyone that's an adult now has gone through puberty, and they know how awkward it is. They know how uncomfortable it is. But if you just allow these children to go through the natural process of puberty, 85 to 94% will end up identifying naturally with their born biological gender. It's very clear, the science is on this.
Okay, now what happens when adults, supposedly meaning well for the children, but they interfere with that process, let's say through hormone blockers or even reassignment surgery or something like that. That's the most extreme of all the cases. But you've even pointed out to me in a previous interview you did many years ago or a couple years ago that you think in maybe about 10 years there's going to be lawsuits from some of these poor kids now grown up who, you know, at the hands of adults supposedly being compassionate, they ended up having their whole lives ruined by reassignment surgery or hormone blockers, you know, it's interfering with this, you know, the natural process that would resolve these gender dysphoria issues, you know, just by themselves.
Jerry, there are many problems caused by giving children puberty blockers. There's not a lot of research, unfortunately, due to the nature of the transgender issue pertaining to children who go through this process. What we do have, though, is numbers that have come out of a nefarious and infamous gender clinic known as the Tavistock Clinic in the United Kingdom.
How do you spell
those
that?
Numbers show
Tavistock?
T-A-V-I-S-T-O-K. And what those numbers have shown is that 100% of the children that go on to puberty blockers end up going on to further treatments, whether it's chemical castration or genital reconstruction surgery, or even something as harmful as TOP surgery, where they remove healthy breasts from children at age 15 or earlier. These numbers are very troubling. And frankly, there have been studies, but they are always hidden and covered up by the transgender lobby. They show that actually suicide rates increase after these treatments are given to children and even to adults as well. So these do not actually solve the problem that the transgender movement claims to be solving, and they actually end up causing even more problems like permanent sterility and permanent mutilation. You know, these children are not old enough to consent to sex, as I remind people. So how in the world is it possible that they can consent to something as permanent as a sex change where they will no longer be able to have children or have normal sexual relations with another human being? It's absolutely a travesty. And as I have pointed out in our conversations with you prior, there will be massive lawsuits from these children who have been taken advantage of, exploited for profits by the pharmaceutical industry and these gender clinics. And I pray that we get justice sooner rather than later, because these transgender kids, these kids with gender dysphoria, they deserve nothing less than justice.
Okay, now talk about big tech censorship of any opposition to the transgender agenda.
What's really funny about the big tech censorship agenda when it comes to this transgender movement is that in a sane world, right, I consider these transgender treatments of minors to be a form of sexual abuse, right? You are permanently changing the chemical makeup of a child. You are permanently changing their sexual nature and their genitals and all of that. You're robbing them of something. In a sane world, sexual abuse, anyone advocating for the sexual abuse of minors would be banned from online platforms. And in fact, if you post child pornography online, not only do you get banned from those platforms, you go to jail. However, what we're seeing is the exact opposite here. We are seeing the complete and total shutdown of anyone who opposes the sexual abuse of children through hormone treatments, puberty blocking, and even, yes, as my colleague John Schweppe learned, the genital reconstruction and mutilation of children. This is unfair. It's evil and it's wrong, and big tech needs to be held accountable. And the only way we can do that is by passing laws that rein in big tech and take away their power. No one, I mean, this is a first for humanity, and it's definitely a first for human beings, is a bunch of people, wealthy, powerful people in Silicon Valley, think that they can force speech codes on the rest of the country. It's arrogant, it's elitist, and ultimately it's evil.
Okay, tell us about your colleague and what happened with him being suspended by Twitter.
So about a month ago, my colleague John Schweppe, who is our policy director at American Principles Project, had tweeted out a statement opposing the genital mutilation and chemical castration of young children. He essentially compared it to child abuse. Within 24 hours, Twitter had censored him, banned his account until he had agreed to delete the tweet. Now, this is very troubling for a lot of reasons. Number one, there should be public criticism allowed for any and all topics available to humanity. This is how we have come to solutions on lots of difficult issues, is by encouraging more political debate around a topic. And for something as sensitive as the genital mutilation of children, the chemical castration of children, there absolutely must be an open and transparent debate, if a debate at all, allowing for these surgeries. This is obviously sexual abuse of children, and the fact that Silicon Valley viewed it as important for their agenda to censor John Schweppe. They said essentially that what he was tweeting was hate speech. Now, I can't think of anything more hateful than someone advocating for a child to permanently alter their body so that it can be more in line with what experts in Silicon Valley think. There's nothing more hateful than that. And what John Schweppe was actually advocating for was the acceptance for these children and for medical professionals and for this expert class of transgender treatment specialists he was advocating for them to accept the child's body as is and to not alter it. So this is an upside down clown world that we're dealing with, and it absolutely must end.
Now, the Bible says that God has made us as human beings male and female, one or the other. And biologically, it's my understanding that in the average human cell, there are literally thousands of indicators whether this individual is male or female. It's one or the other.
That's exactly right, Jerry. Our genetics and our DNA at every level, at the most basic level, is made up of male and female parts. And there are very big differences between men and women. Some would actually say that men and women complement each other and that we're opposites. Just like every other animal on the face of this earth, there are male and female aspects of the species. And this is what we know from millennia worth of science and studying animal species, is that there are males and females, and there are big differences. And it ranges from everything from the cellular level all the way to the bigger level, right? Men have more muscle mass. They have a higher level of bone density. They're taller on average. They're faster on average. And women are the nurturing types. They have more estrogen versus men who have more testosterone. This is stuff that really isn't even up for debate anymore. And the only reason that it's being debated or even discussed right now is because a group of elites have determined that their agenda is to try and erase all distinctions between men and women. They absolutely hate nature. They hate nature's God, and they want to do what they can with their powerful influence in the media, academia, and now the medical community to erase all those distinctions.
Okay, just to let you know, we have about 1 minute left in this conversation. Isn't it interesting at this particular juncture, and we're recording this in early 2022, biological males who relate as females or claim as such are dominating women's sports, like swimming in the Ivy League competitions?
Yes, we're seeing that men who end up leaving male sports to compete as women are actually dominating female sports. There's a famous case out of the University of Pennsylvania, a swimmer named Leah Thomas. Leah used to be, or well, still is a male, but now identifies as a woman and is competing in the women's athletics division. When Leah was competing as a male, he had beaten Katie Ledecky's records in the 500, 1,000, and 15-yard freestyle swim meet. And just for the record, Katie Ledecky's records were the world record. So a junior-level, non-competitive male who's not competitive in the male sports leaves to join the women's sports, and he had already beaten the fastest woman in the world, her and her records when it comes to swimming. This is unfair. Everyone knows it. And it's time that more of these female athletes start standing up and protesting. Because if they don't stop this, within 5 years, women will be watching their sports from the sidelines.
Wow. Okay, we're out of time. AmericanPrinciplesProject.org or .com?
.org. AmericanPrinciplesProject.org and SaveTheFamily.app.
Terry Schilling, thanks so much. All the best.
Thanks so much, Jerry.
Great. Bye-bye.